Maybe I'm getting older, but when I go to nursing homes, or when I have gone in the past, you know what the favorite song is of the elderly? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I think it's becoming my favorite again, too. I heard my granddaughter singing it just the other morning. A wonderful song. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us to this place and to this hour of worship. We ask your special blessing upon us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that as we study your word and grow, that we may grow in our faith, grow in our appreciation both of who you are and what you have done for us. So we pray that you would keep us in that one true faith now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, one of the most common expressions that we as Lutherans hear and use as we study the teachings of the Bible is, what does this mean? Luther uses the question after each of the commandments as he attempts to help us to understand the scope and the meaning of each of those commandments. He does the same thing after his breaking down of the Apostles' Creed, after each one of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. He asks, what does this mean? But you know what happens sometimes as we study those commandments and those words of God and Luther's explanations? Sometimes we get done with one of those explanations and the first thing that comes out of our mouth is, well, what does this mean? Because we maybe don't fully comprehend what Luther himself meant in his explanation. For example, if we think of the very first commandment of God, you shall have no other gods before me. Luther says, what does this mean? And Luther says we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Well, in light of the culture in which we live, when you think of people almost afraid to get on a plane, almost afraid to go to a concert, because you don't know if there's somebody that's going to open fire or if they've set a bomb off, ready to be set off in that place, we are filled with fear. So when Luther says we should fear God above all things, he certainly can't mean, can he, that he wants us to be afraid of God like that more than anything else in the world. Well, that certainly isn't what Luther means when he says that. For the Christian, the fear of God is a holy fear. It's an awareness of the grace and the mercy and love that God has shown to us in saving us from our sins. So if we wanted a better translation, a modern translation of we should fear God above all things, perhaps a better understanding would be that it is a reverence. It's a respect. It's an awe before which in which we stand before God. I like to call it, with my confirmation kids, I always called it the wow factor. In other words, if we truly think about God and the mightiness, almighty, that he made us, as we heard in the children's message, and he knows everything about us. This God is absolutely incredible. And if he were suddenly standing in front of me, my first reaction would be, wow, that's fear. That's a reverence and respect for our God. And if we understand God, and if we see God in that way, then we can properly say that the more we fear God, our Father in heaven, the less we have to fear here on earth. In the gospel lesson for today, we find Jesus giving instructions to the 12 disciples as he prepared them to go out and preach about the kingdom of God. And in those verses that I shared with you earlier from the gospel, three times in a little different way, Jesus said, do not be afraid. So, have you ever been so afraid that you weren't able, that fear kept you from doing something that you really wanted to do, but were afraid to do? Or maybe something you know you should do, but didn't want to do? Sometimes fear can just literally freeze us in place. Have you ever felt that fear, that being afraid, you know, when you've had an opportunity to maybe tell somebody about Jesus, to an opportunity to share your faith with them, but then you kind of cringe a little bit and you're a little afraid that you might say the wrong thing, and so then you don't say anything at all. Well, what Jesus is saying to us this morning is, don't be afraid. You have nothing to fear. And he says, I don't want you to fear, but look at who I am. Look at what I have done for you, Jesus says, and there is no need to fear. So we fear the world less because of Christ and because of what Christ reveals to us about himself in his word. Again, as Jesus sent the 12 out into the world, he told them that they would have troubles. Literally, he told them, he guaranteed it, in fact. In the Gospel of John, he says this, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So, since our God is such an awesome and incredible God, what does that tell us? It ought to tell us that we know that there is nothing that the world can throw at us that we can't handle because of who is with us, our loving and gracious God. We are never alone. Our victorious Lord and Savior Jesus is with us every step of the way. That's why we can say, he can say to us, do not be afraid. We have a promise from God that he will be with us, and that as we live our lives and face all of those challenges and all of those troubles, he says, you won't have to do it alone. I am going to be with you. And especially in the context of this gospel lesson today, I think he's talking to us about those opportunities that he places before us where we can share the gospel with others. We should not be surprised when troubles come and reactions come when we talk about Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says here in this gospel. He says, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So Jesus is saying to each of us here, we should not expect anything different to happen to us than what happened to him during his earthly ministry. Prophet Isaiah, and it was fulfilled by Christ in his ministry, tells us he was despised. He was rejected by men. He was called Beelzebul, the prince of demons. And we should expect the same treatment. When we talk about Christ, you're going to get all sorts of responses and reactions from people. But Jesus, again, is here encouraging all of us to not let it fill us with fear. Because he says, I have overcome the world. And think about what he did to do that. He lived a perfect life. You know, God's demand in his law is to be perfect as God is perfect. And we didn't do that. And so Jesus came and he lived that perfect life that you and I could not and have not lived. Jesus died the death that was the punishment for sin, the death that we deserve. He didn't, he was perfect, but he died it for us. And Jesus rose triumphantly on that first Easter Sunday. God assures us by that resurrection that he accepted the sacrifice of his Son. Forgiveness is ours, eternal life is ours. That's why we need not fear. He has called us to be his people and to share the love of Christ with others. And what he wants from us is to be bold in our confession and witness to him. Remember what he said to those disciples. Speak in the daylight. Proclaim it from the rooftops what our God in Christ has done for you. The gospel is to be proclaimed at all costs. That's the mission and the ministry that God has given to his church, to his believers. I love the words of the Apostle Paul. In his letter to the Romans in the first chapter, Paul writes these words. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So he's reminding us that this gospel, this message of God's love in Christ has power. The Greek word for power there is dynamis, our English equivalent, dynamite. So what we have and what God has given to us to share is dynamite. It has the power to change cold, hard, dead hearts into living, breathing children of God and heirs of salvation. That's what we are called to do. I read the story about a 19th century preacher by the name of Peter Cartwright. On one occasion, President Andrew Jackson, he was reported to the pastor that he was going to come and visit his church. And so he was told, you better be careful what you say, because this guy was kind of an uncompromising preacher. And so on the day that it came, President Andrew Jackson came and sat down. Pastor Cartwright got up into the pulpit, and he said, I understand today that President Andrew Jackson is with us in our worship service, and I've been told that I have to be a little careful about what I say. And then he kind of stopped for a moment, and then he said, Andrew Jackson will go to hell if he does not repent. And the congregation just kind of swallowed hard, wondering what was going to happen, and went through the rest of the service, and they all kind of watched as President Jackson got up to greet Pastor Cartwright after the service. And when he greeted him and shook his hands, you know what he said to Pastor Cartwright? He said, sir, if I had a regiment of men like you, I could whip the world. He loved the boldness and the confidence and the strength of Pastor Cartwright in telling it like it is, in sharing that gospel and telling him, if you don't repent, if you don't confess sin and confess faith in Christ, you too, whether you're the President of the United States or not, you're lost. He liked to hear that, and he needed to hear that. That's the boldness that God has called each one of us to use as we share the love of Christ with others. Another reason that we can fear the world less is because Christ assures us that nothing will happen to us apart from God's full knowledge of what is going on in our lives. What does that mean? Luther again, what does this mean? This means that God knows our every move. And God knows every word that comes out of our mouths. It means that He loves us. It means that He cares for us and watches over us. And because we know that, we need not fear the world and what it might do to us. That's why it says in this text, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So as redeemed people of God, what do? We acknowledge Jesus Christ as God. We acknowledge that our God is mightier and greater and stronger than any of our enemies, be they human or demonic. We confess in our creeds that we believe that Jesus Christ will come again, and that in that coming He will judge the living and the dead. That's the kind of power our God has. And yet, how often don't we, as human beings, find ourselves more fearful of men, of mankind, than we are of God, knowing that the power that He has. We need to hear about God's victorious Son and what He did for us, and that the Father acknowledges us as His children, that He preserves us and takes care of us. We need to hear that. We don't want to be lost. But at the same time, then, we want to share that message with others because we don't want others to be lost as well. God loves us and cares for us. Again, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So God has every detail of our life under his watchful eye. We can take comfort in knowing that God is infinitely more interested in his children than he is even in the sparrows. And what does it say? He knows every time a sparrow falls to the ground. He knows, as we heard, exactly how many hairs we have on our heads. But see, that's not the important thing there. What's that pointing out to us? God is great. And God can see farther down the line. He knows what's happening and going to happen in our lives. I believe that Jesus uses this example of the sparrows and of the hairs on our head to remind us of the awesomeness and the greatness and the incredibleness of our God and what he is and what he means to us. It demonstrates the enormity of that love that he had in sending his son into the world to be our Savior. It expresses the enormity of the love of the Son as he went to the cross and made payment for your sins, each and every one of them, and for mine, so that we could have forgiveness, so that he could acknowledge us on that last day as his children and heirs of heaven. The one who judges raises us, and he will bring us to eternal life with him in heaven. So we do not have to fear. You know, there's so many examples in the Bible of ones who were filled with fear, and then God gave them boldness. I think we heard a little bit of one in the Old Testament lesson. I think of Peter. If you think of Peter's life and what happened with Peter, you know, when suddenly his life was on the line, when Jesus was arrested, and what did Peter do? He was filled with fear. He was afraid for his life. He denied Jesus 3 times. That's how scared he was. But then fast forward to Pentecost. And to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that very same disciple. Listen to what he said after Pentecost. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So Peter was standing before, some of the very people that had threatened his life, pointed, you, whom you crucified. That's the boldness that Peter had now because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. No fear, just boldness in confessing Christ. That's the boldness that God calls for from us. That's what Jesus says in our text. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. So, who do you fear? Do you fear men? Or do you fear God? That's the call, really, that God has given to each one of us. On the last day, he will acknowledge us as his children. But there are so many people in our world today who do not know Jesus, who will be lost forever if we don't tell them. And so this boldness that he calls for us to have is a boldness we need to share the love of Jesus with others, so that they too can one day be acknowledged as children of God and heirs of salvation. But again, it's not always easy. There is fear sometimes when we confess. We approach situations with fear. I read the story about an athlete at the Pan American Games. This was a number of years ago. He was asked how he coped with the stress of competition when he was up there on that high dive. He said, well, what I do, I climb up the steps to the board. I step out to the edge of the board. I take a deep breath. And then I think to myself, even if I blow this dive, my mom will still love me. So then I could just give it all that I had. Because he had that confidence. I mentioned it last night. I don't know how many of you watched the Olympics, last Olympics, but the synchronized swimmers, there was one of them. I'd hardly ever watched that, but it was on that night, so I watched it. One of those swimmers, after something had happened, I don't know if the one next to them had screwed up or the one before them, is how were you able to concentrate and keep going with all of that disturbance going on around you? And he says, well, it's really not difficult at all because I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord. And that was surprising enough that they let him say it on TV. But he said it, that I believe in Jesus Christ. So I know that everything's going to be all right. I just have to give it my best and the Lord will be happy with me. So I don't worry about the end result. I just worry about pleasing God with my life. That's what God calls us to do. To be bold, to understand that Jesus is there. So let's give ourselves a challenge, okay? As you begin each day, maybe tomorrow morning when you get up, whatever you have, you got to go to work, if you're retired, do whatever you want, going on vacation, whatever's going on, get up and think about the day's activities, what you have to do. And after you've thought about them, then just kind of sit back and take a deep breath. You know, even if I blow this day, Jesus still loves me, and I'm okay. That's what God wants from us. Confident faith that trusts in Jesus. Yes, in this world, he says, you will have trouble, but take heart. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And he did that for you and for me. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.